experience grace. Well, one very powerful event was at the last Baptism in the Spirit seminar where I was prayed over, and I had been prayed over before, but this was the first time that I have ever been slain in the Spirit. And that was a definite experience for me. But also, whenever I stretch myself to do something for someone that I don't really feel like doing, and I just say, do it. And once I make that decision and then move forward with it, it's like I actually feel the presence of Christ with me. You know, visiting someone, it's late, I don't really feel like going to visit this person, I'd rather go home and have beer, you know, one of those things. But you really should visit that person and say to yourself, Mary, just do it, because that's the right thing to do. And from that moment on, it's kind of a grace-filled,
grace-filled
event.
You're turning yourself away from yourself.
Yeah, I'm dying to myself.
Dying to yourself.
I experienced that Father Jude wanted me to wash his feet when he was in the nursing home, I believe. He was in so many different places. Might have been Hill South. And I knew from previous helping Bob out with Father Jude that he had a real problem with his feet. And I'm kind of squeamish sometimes. And so I just knelt down and I just asked God to give me the grace to do it and do it with love. And in doing that, I was able to do that, you know. And I just felt such peace and such grace from that that I can't even explain it. So that was definitely grace.
Put it Father Jude to bed. Don't forget the first time he explained to me that I had to empty his catheter. And perfect Father Jude to bed. And didn't want to
look on your face.
Yes, Lord.
This man was in so much discomfort. I won't call it pain, because I can't believe he was in pain, because he never showed it. But it was terribly obvious that he had discomfort. And yet, once you got him in bed, and you know, changing a catheter and all this, I mean, it's a pretty humiliating experience for him, too. But when, once you got him in bed, and he started to pray, and this joy just came over him. He was so grateful for the day that God had given him. And you couldn't help but to be filled with that joy, filled with that grace. And so, yeah, that was an experience. Just being in the presence.
Just being in the presence. I worked for Father for many years, and, you know, he was at the point where he was on a walker. And I'd come in there with all these complaints of my own, you know, not sharing them, but just, you know, a woe is me type thing. And I'd be typing away and doing stuff, and all of a sudden, I would hear Father Jude in the hallway singing praises to God at the top of his lungs. And the poor man, he's on a catheter, he's dragging it along with him, and he's pushing this thing, he can barely walk, can barely talk, and here he is singing praises to God, and I'm sitting there complaining. That was a humbling experience.
I remember a couple of nights I'd go up there and I'd walk in and I'd see his walker in the hallway. And I was like, oh man. He wandered off without his walker and he knew that he'd fallen down, couldn't get up, and so you would just start listening because he would be singing. He's sitting on the, laying on the floor, you know, couldn't get up, and he's singing. It's just like, you just follow the voice, and you'll find it's like, Jude, your walker's out there. He's like, I forgot. You know? And it was a blessing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't know how many of you have encountered that. next week we talk about baptism. One of my favorite passages in the catechism talks about the conversion of the baptized, being born again, and it is a Catholic teaching that our baptism was the first and foremost, but we have to go through this ongoing conversion. This confirmation part of that sometimes, okay? But the baptism of the Spirit, for many people, is that a very tangible conversion of the baptized. Is it the only way to have conversion of baptized? No. No, not by any means. I think that, you know, I've come to realize that there are some incredibly holy people out there who don't pray in tongues. You know? That's okay. So, you know, that conversion takes place in lots of different ways. But it is something that the Catholic Church teaches we are supposed to do. We're not supposed to just sit back and, like I did for many years when my wife kept praying for me to be born again. You know, I was the stubborn Catholic. I just said, I've already been born again. It happened when I was 13 days old, and I don't need to be born again. And I was kind of right. She was mostly right. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. Does anybody else have anything else they want to share? Sacraments, any of these other questions that you have about sacraments? Appreciate them very quiet. But you're here.
Here.
I just think that, you know, as a church, I wish that we would come to realize better that we are sacred liturgy is a participation of the people of God in the work of God. That it's not a passive thing. It's a very active thing. There's some things that we do so very well here, and all parishes really. There's always, you know, things that the parish does extremely well. And then there's other pockets of the parish that shake people and say, hey, you get it? And you know, I think Father Fred is such a blessing here because he has this life, this vitality. When people see this, whether they like it or not, they see this. It has to impress them. And you know, I just keep praying for our parish. I think there's a new life, a breath of spirit coming through our parish.
New springtime,
maybe. Yeah.
I was speaking to a man last week who comes from a parish I won't name in Star City. And and he said he, because of some commitments he had, he ended up coming to church here at the 8:30 Sunday Mass a couple of weeks ago.
P.M.
Wow. And he said, who is this Father Fred? He said, the music was so wonderful, and Father Fred was so wonderful. It was like a breath of fresh air. He was just all hyped up about it. I said,
well,
come to St.
John's. We're all on University Avenue, right?
A lot of good things happen. We miss Father Beckett. Yeah. He was definitely a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, when you talk about participation, I just crossed my mind here. I didn't get to the Latin Mass last week.
Yeah.
And Mary, you said it was really good. Did you go to?
It was like going to a museum.
Yeah.
Well,
it was an interesting experience.
When I was young, before Vatican II, I went to the Latin Masses. I was lost all the time.
He had the best.
And it was quiet. It was absolutely, I didn't authentic. Remember that. Of course, I was really young.
That's because it was a high mass.
It was a high mass. But I mean, I was 1962, I was two. So I don't really remember. Liar. I can remember, like, in first grade, that the priest still had his back to me, you know, because I went to Catholic school. We went to daily mass before school started. And I can remember, but I don't, you know, the quiet, I was like,
that's
I'm
because
so
it
lost.
Was a climax, so there was very little interaction between the cultural and the Greeks.
It was silent.
So it was, there was a canter of them. And so you really, this is what you did. This is what you saw.
Yeah, that was it.
Two elbows.
You knew that's why. That's why pre-Vatican.
And then the canter in the back. Mm-hmm. So there was very little opportunity to even respond, even if you wanted to.
And I asked my mom after when I asked her, you know, because she's 81, so she remembers, and she said that that was a long time ago, but she does remember. Of course, the low mass wouldn't have been like that, I don't guess.
There wouldn't have been that much chanting. It would, you would have heard the
heard
priest.
The priest.
Would
say,
right.
So that's what back. She remembers. She said no, she doesn't remember everything. So
actually, most of the time, you would not have heard the priest in the altar. Neither one of them were mic'd.
Yeah.
It's sure. So, mm-hmm. I mean, as an altar boy, I had to listen to hear what the priest was saying. A lot of times, all I heard him doing was mumbling.
Yeah.
And I just knew when he finished mumbling, it was my turn.
I can't imagine. I was the same way.
I wouldn't like that, I don't think.
Yeah.
You spend most of your time on your knees, too.
Oh, we mumbled
the
entire
time.
St. Mary's had a Latin mass years ago, and I could not wait to go. I was so excited. I thought, oh, you know, this is going to be great. If only I could find my missal, you know. I look at the Latin and the English. By the time that mass was over, I was like, oh, my God, this is so boring. I couldn't stand it.
That's how I felt.
You thought it was
the
awesome?
I thought the spirit is in this.
It must be.
The
spirit must be
there. But it was like, I was just awe. Well, see, you can be taken with the beauty. If it's done beautifully, there can be a certain mystical kind of aura. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially if you come from a tradition where it's more like a prayer room, where you have preachers preaching on a piece of scripture. So you walk into a Catholic church, that can be very...
I know when Alice and I were first married, we were looking for a church, looking through the phone book, and we saw Latin Rite. We saw, oh, this will be really neat. We'll go to Latin Rite. And it was scary. I mean, it was just, we went one time, and it was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And people still wore the veils. And
there was a woman who wore the chapel veil.
Yeah,
I just weren't a part of it.
Most of the time at Mass, before the chicken, people would come and they would have their own personal devotions.
Right.
And they would pray their personal devotions.
And they rosary.
And the rosary.
And the rosary. Yeah. I've been seeing you pray the rosary, definitely.
You had to do something to pass the time.
And the idea behind somebody ringing the bells was so that you'd stop whatever you were doing.
Knew what it was.
Pay attention. And we had to pay attention. Because if you didn't pay attention, you weren't in Mass for that time. That was it.
Well, you know, years ago, I had to go to a 5-day conference for religious education teachers, and one of the things that they told us about the bells was that in the early church, the reason that they rang the bells is because masses were usually held in these buildings that had no windows, and cats would come around, and they rang the bells to scare the cats away. And this is what they told us!
For the old rite, it was very nice if you were an altar boy, because you actually participated directly in the Mass. And it was a very nice thing. It had a very special feeling to it. But for everybody else in the church, they were kind of removed. So I was an altar boy from the age of 7 on.
And you got to get out of class to do funerals, right?
Yeah.
I can still see those old boys itching to get out of class. Father would come and say, okay, funeral today. Out the door.
We went to a funeral, St. John's here, just before Christmas. And it was a Spanish-speaking family, and they, Deacon Joe said most of the prayers, the readings were all in Spanish. And Father Fred, in celebrating Mass, he did it in Latin. So here I am, barely knowing English. I was totally lost. Totally lost. I could see some of the actions. But, so I guess going back to participation of the people of God in the work of God, sacred liturgy.
But again, we have to remember that even back in those days of Latin Mass, it was still the participation of the people. But we have evolved. We've made a change. And I'm so very grateful for the change.
I think if the priest describes things on the altar, whatever the changes are, if he tells the people why the changes are happening and what the purpose is, I think it's a lot better than after Vatican II, where there wasn't really much of an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened. People resented it. Where if they knew why, they would have accepted it.
So you work it in the missal.
I'm actually using the booklets that the United States Catholic Conference of Catholic Bishops has put out, saying this is the way you're supposed to do this. I don't know whether the rest of our parish is doing this or not, but this is something I was interested in. I knew we had the Mass coming up here, and I said this just makes sense to do this. So, and it's a good process. They're acknowledging. Without saying that they kind of blew it last time, I can read between the lines and say, okay, they know they blew it. So, we're not going to make those same mistakes again.
Father Mark asked me to see if we get something on the radio that the vicariate, he wants to educate all the parishes and the vicariate, about the changes. So, we're going to get something on the radio for that too.
And I'll be instituted in Advent?
Beginning this November. Beginning of the year.
This weekend, Saturday's, I know you were there Friday night? And you were there Friday and Saturday?
Saturday morning.
Were you there Saturday morning too? Yeah, okay. So many good things Father brought. It was just amazing. But one of the things, I thought, wow, that was really powerful. I mentioned to Alice, and she said, oh, yeah, you got that off the internet. So I went up and I Googled this morning, this evening, and sure enough, there it was. And it fits in with this God who pours out his grace upon us. He said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a savior. And I thought it was one of Father's original.
He might have put that on the
Maybe. Anyway. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together tonight. We thank you for just allowing us to speak openly and speak freely and hear your word. We just thank you for the blessings of your presence in our church, your presence in our lives. We just ask that you continue to pour out your presence upon us, your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We ask you to just continue to help us to continue to seek you in all that we do. And we thank you, Lord, for answering all of our prayers. Help us to understand how you are answering our prayers. We just thank you for this time we gather. We ask you to watch over us this week. Help us to be instruments of your peace in our parish here at St. John's, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our families, in all that we do. Help us to be instruments of your peace and to shine your light wherever we go. We thank you for all the blessings that you pour out upon us. We ask that you watch out for over all those who couldn't be here tonight, especially Marge, for the DiCarlos. We just ask to bring us back here safely next week. We just thank you, Lord, for all the gifts, but especially this week for the gifts of your sacraments, your divine presence in our lives. We pray together in the words our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mark your calendars. We're performing our oratorio for the Stations of the Cross on the Friday, the 11th of March at St. Francis, and Friday, the 15th of April, here at St. John's.
April 15th.
What time in St. John's?
7 o'clock.
And that's the CD also, right?
And
so we'll be on the radio.
And it'll be on the radio as well.
Yes.
That's right. Do you know what it is?
I don't know yet when yet. He's got to find my team all that. We'll be on the radio on Friday.
So. And during Lent, we're going to have stations here at St. John's, preceded by soup and
some
bread. So.
Do you want to talk to Steve?
Yeah.
About the Seder?
Yes. Now, he's away, but I'll email him because he's not going to be.
He's not going to be there next week.
No.
Okay, I'll send him to you.
Last Tuesday is Bible study. Talk about that.
Sorry. And everyone pray for Kathleen Brooks, who is in the hospital.
Yeah.
Operation will be Wednesday. Right?
Thanks for joining us. Next week, baptism and confirmation.
Friday night. No,
that
makes
sense.
Baptism and confirmation next week.
We have,
get to turn it off.
By the end of tonight, by March.